This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. I want to thank you guys. All the lines are all jammed up, and we do appreciate that. I want to be clear, too, on this whole NSA security warning, just so you understand. So the caller was having trouble getting his Windows version past 1903. However, the security update that the NSA is warning everybody about covers all sorts of back versions of Windows 10. So you can get the security update even if you're running 1607 Windows 10. So that's way back. So what they're saying is make sure you do the security update minimally. And we'll put the link out there for you. It doesn't mean you have to be at the latest Windows 10 version in order to be protected, which is nice and confusing, right? Because Windows 10 is just one version. But if you look at the list, there's like literally, I don't know, eight flavors of it just sitting here on the screen. So which flavor do you have? The one that tastes great or the one that's kind of sour?
And if you shut off updates, you may actually be running a version that's no longer supported.
Right. But it still says Windows 10. And you're like, I got the latest. No, you don't. All right, let's go. Thanks, Microsoft, for confusing the heck out of us. Let's go to back to Al again. He's got a question on backup. What were you saying, Al?
Yeah, backups. Solid state, I would think, would be a good way to go with my backups.
It's expensive, though, for solid state for storage like that.
Well, some of them, you can get up to 256 for the same price as hard drives, from what I looked at.
Well, that could be true, but 256 gigs is really not much data storage. So I don't know that I would spend a premium on my backup target. I would want to buy large, slow drives, okay. You know, 6-terabyte drives, 12-terabyte drives.
I see.
That way you have multiple versions of your backup, multiple shots at your data.
And you mentioned Cronus would be the...
Cronus? Yeah, that's a good system, a good backup to create an image. I use ASUS to do backup.
ASUS?
No, ESUS. EASUS.
I call it ESUS.
ESUS, yeah. To do backup. It's a Chinese backup, so take that with a grain of salt. But they can have my pictures for all I care.
It comes with the coronavirus and no charge.
Exactly, with Lime.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
And one last question.
Yeah.
When my desktop goes, I anticipate, say, in a year, I want to get another desktop.
Sure.
And I love an Envy product.
Mm-hmm.
How about a hybrid with solid state and hard drive in it.
Yeah. I mean, hybrid drives, there are hybrid drives that have both solid state technology and spinning technology, you can call it,
right,
that are very large drives that give you that high speed boot,
right,
and just general performance, and it's perfect for home use.
Yeah. That's...
But if you want to separate it and have super high speed on the solid state C drive and then maybe a D drive for data, that's more traditional 7200 RPM spinning type drive,
yep,
that works too. Depends on what you mean by hybrid.
Envy offers a hybrid that has a 1 terabyte, 2 terabyte hard drive plus a 256 solid state built right into it.
Yeah, so that's what they're calling hybrid. But there literally are drives that are called hybrid, which have solid state and spin technology on the same platform.
Oh, okay. No, this is just two
drives.
And one, so
yep,
to speak.
Yep.
You think that's okay, though?
Of course it is, yeah.
All right. That's all I need.
All right, Al. Good luck.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go on to Richard in Cheshire next. What's up, Richard?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you, sir?
Good. My cable provider, I don't know if I should say the name or not, does that matter?
Doesn't matter. We only know there's two or three in the whole state, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
What do they want to do to you?
There's only three letters.
What do they want to do to you?
Well... I was following the instructions to try and install OpenDNS.
On their router?
On their router.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, and when you get to the domain name server section, they have to get automatically from ISP, you know,
right,
checked.
Right.
You can't uncheck it.
That's the whole problem with any cable-based firewall. They are in control. So what you want to do to get around that is you... return the device to them, buy your own modem that'll work with their system, and that's going to cost you, what, 60, 70 bucks? And then buy your own router. Now, I talked about a router that I went with. It's a little expensive. It's a little higher end, but you can get less expensive routers that you'll now control your own destiny, and you're going to not pay them a rental fee. It'll pay for itself.
But you need to buy the modem from them?
Nope.
Make sure it's compatible?
Nope. You have to buy a modem that is compatible with their service. And if you go to Staples or Best Buy or wherever, they're going to actually have sections of their area there that are going to say, this is Comcast compatible, this is Cox compatible, this is whatever compatible. That way you don't have to guess. You can also go online on their website. So if in the case of Cox, you can go on to see what compatible modems they say are compatible, and then you can buy it through Amazon or Best Buy or wherever you want to buy it.
And you could just plug in their cable to that, and it.
Yes, you got to plug.
Okay, you don't need their help to do it.
You do need one little step from them, so they don't let you just plug in anything and have it work. So what you will have to do is call their support and tell them the MAC address of your new modem. It'll be a nice big, clearly marked number on your modem, and you'll call them and say, here's the new modem I'm using, here's the MAC address, and then they'll authorize it to connect. And then you can return the hardware to them and save whatever the monthly fee is.
I own the router, modem router that I have. They had that choice years ago that you could just purchase it outright instead of paying the monthly lease for it. So
huh.
I did that.
But you still can't control it the way you want. That's weird. How come you can't change the setting?
Well, they have, because I also got in touch with Netgear directly, their service.
Yeah.
And somehow, I don't know who's doing it, but that button is just gray. It's not black.
Yeah.
And there's no way to, you know, when you try and select to use these DNS servers, there's no way to select them.
Yeah, so it's you paid for it ahead of time.
They get a lot of calls from Cox Netgear owners, all with the same problem. And their advice is all you can do is get a different cable provider.
No, you can go ahead and get your own router. So that's too bad that you paid for it and you still have no control over it. I'm sorry to hear that.
The only thing I'm afraid of is when I called Cox about this, and instead of even trying to help me, they looked up their records and they said to me, oh, well, you own that router. You
know, right.
We don't offer any support or service if it's not our equipment.
Right.
So I'm a little afraid if I buy my own and I call them up, they're going to say to me, it's not our equipment. We can't support it for you.
So fair to be afraid, but don't be afraid. When you buy the modem that is their compatible modem, they will happily turn it on when you give them the MAC address. Just go in with the confidence that you're correct and you were right. So you're going to say, hey, I got a new modem. I want to attach to the network. Here's the MAC address. Please make it live. And then you're going to also go buy a router to plug into that modem. And then you're going to configure OpenDNS and you're going to configure your security. You're going to do whatever you want on that router. It's all yours. They're not going to help you setting it up. You're right. But they're going to make sure the modem works. And then from there on out, it's on you. But you're in no different boat as you are now.
If they tell you that they can't help you because you bought your own modem, tell them you want to speak to a supervisor.
Yeah, that won't happen. They'll help you. I promise you, they'll help you authorize that modem, but they won't help you configure it. But you're in the exact same boat you are now anyways. Otherwise, you have to call them up and say you want to rent stuff from them again. Who wants to do that? Don't be afraid, Richard. Don't be afraid. I learned how to change my own oil in my lawnmower. So now I'm doing that myself.
Okay.
You can do this. I promise you.
All right. Thanks for the help.
You got it, sir.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Yeah, there's something about the cable company that everyone's kind of nervous about or afraid of. And they're kind of hoping that's the case. They don't want you to change. They don't want you to look at your bill.
Well, they don't want to spend any money on you.
Well,
even though you're paying them a lot of money every month.
They don't want you to check your bill out to see, what are you paying for? Why is it a car payment for my entertainment? You know, it's ridiculous these days with the amount of money we spend on this. And then if you cut the cable, you will find yourself much happier. And if you happen to be in the area where Go NetSpeed is, your internet service is guaranteed at that price for as long as you live in that home.
Or Whip City Fiber.
Oh, if you're lucky enough to be in the old buggy whip capital of the world up there in Westfield, Mass. I don't know if they have a guaranteed price protection, but same thing. Low cost, plenty of speed. Ugh. So
good service.
You'll love cutting the cable. We're going to step out for a quick break here. I've got two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. Let's go right to your calls. We're going to go to John in Weathersfield next. Hey, John.
Hi, Eric. How are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm surprised at the advice that you gave to the caller with the old computer.
The super old computer? You're surprised?
I'm surprised that you told him to trash it. I went on Mr. Google and I typed in computer museum, and there are hundreds of them, and there's one in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
It's a 501c3. You can donate your computer there and get a tax write-off. And
wait a minute. We're going to pay a tax? We're going to give this guy a tax write-off for that old machine?
No, it's a charity company.
I understand.
You know what a 501c3 is.
I do, but it just means we're all subsidizing garbage computers. But go ahead. That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. And guess what they do with the old computers?
I couldn't even. What are they doing?
Well, it's interesting. So the one in Rhode Island was started by a bunch of guys who are British car enthusiasts. But
nice.
You've heard of Hidden Figures and what's the other one? Halt and Catch Fire.
I've heard of that one. I haven't watched that series, but Hidden Figures, I'm aware of.
Yeah, and another TV show, The Americans.
Yeah,
and just think about all the movies and TV shows that have old computers in them. Where do you think they get them?
Ah. So
this museum in Rhode Island.
What's it called?
It's the Rhode Island Computer Museum.
Have you ever been there, John?
No.
All right, I was going to say.
No, I just, you know, I knew about these, and I decided to go online and just do a search on them. And there's computer museums all over the world. So
right, but you can only have so many of those old machines. I mean, once you've got 10, is that enough?
Are you talking about for the museum?
I don't know. In general, for the museum, I mean, how many do they need? How many, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. Is there a limit to how much junk they'll take?
Well, like I say, to car collectors, you can't have too many old Cadillacs, so it's the same idea, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
They aren't making any more of those either.
We're going to put a link up here to the Rhode Island Computer Museum. Of all the things that exist, why not? Great advice. I hope that other guys listening, instead of giving it to the landfill, if the Rhode Island Computer Museum will give him a tax deduction to donate his 30-year-old computer, good for him. The thing about it, though, John, I mean, if you think about these days with being able to print things now, you can just print the old machines. You could actually take a copy of it, scan it, and print the carcass, because in a movie, you don't need to actually have it work. And you can almost print up any device or anything you want to make anymore these days. So I don't even know how much value even these museums will have for the usage in a movie. Or they could just draw it in. They could CGI it in these days. right? I mean, do you need the real thing anymore?
I think they're looking for authenticity.
Cool. No, I hear you. But that's great. I'm glad you called, and I apologize for being so flippant to throw away the old stuff.
Yeah, just, I would suggest go on Mr. Google anytime there's something you're not sure about.
All right, John. That's
a little research.
Thank you. We appreciate that insight.
All right. You're welcome.
All right, man. I never heard of Google. Have you heard of Google, Bob? It just didn't cross my mind that anybody would want the old system. I'm so sorry. I mean, somebody's junk is somebody's treasure, right?
One
somewhere.
Man's junk is another man's treasure.
Right. So, I didn't go there first thing. Then again, heck, my brother and his son always go head out to the flea markets and stuff. You always find something out there. You never know. But I would just think museums at some point would just have enough. I mean, just have enough, right? And gosh, a computer museum. Would you even cross your mind to go to one?
No, not any more than it would for me to go into one of those old flea markets because, I mean, sometimes there's something in there I might need, a tool or something. But as far as antiques, I got enough junk that I got to get rid of.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's just me.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, there are people that love to do that, and God bless
them. Right. And good advice, use the old Googleplex to see where your old treasure might be worthy. Let's go on to Kelsey at Winwolcott. Hey, Kelsey, what's up? Kelsey, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What's going on?
So I had a question. You had, you were just speaking about the fact that you don't need a cable box. You don't need cable in general.
You need cable. You need cable for internet, but you don't need the TV side. What are you saying?
So we're actually moving into a new house, and we don't really know what to go with. We had actually gotten a Fire Stick, and I wanted to know if you knew anything about that.
Yeah, Fire Stick is going to be a device that you'll plug into your TV, and then you'll be able to stream content. So in the new house, what you need minimally is internet. Now, how many folks are going to be living in the home?
Just two.
Beautiful. So you want the lowest speed that the cable internet provider will give you. You don't want to bother with DSL. That's too low speed. But if you want to get, if you can get 25 megabits to 50 megabits for the two of you, that's all you need is internet. And you don't even need the modem from them. So whoever you're going to use, go search online right on their own site and look what cable modems they support. So they'll bring in the line, the service. You're going to then go buy a modem at Staples or Best Buy or wherever or online. And then you're going to plug it in, call them up and say, here's the MAC address of my cable modem. And then you're going to buy what's called a router, a wireless router. And I've got examples of a wireless router that'll cover most homes with one device if you locate it kind of centrally.
So do you have that on your website?
Yeah, over at computertalkwithtab.com.
Okay.
And I won't have the modem listed, but I have the router listed. But you're going to be able to get away with just paying for internet. And then, of course, you can go and get your Fire Stick, and you can go and get your streaming content from Amazon. You can probably add YouTube TV, and now you've got everything you need, and you're only going to pay for internet.
Awesome. That's that's really, you know, what caught my eye about it. So yeah, I'm actually excited to get that started.
Yes, don't buy more. Don't let them sell you 300 megabits as bandwidth, Kelsey. You tell them you're happy with 80.
All right. Good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, congratulations on the new house.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, you get to start fresh. All right, let's go on. Mark in East Hartford next. Hey, Mark.
Hey, thanks, man.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, if it helps, my daughter's in marching band.
Your daughter's in marching band. Hey, what does she play? What does she play?
The flute.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, I got to ask you.
Oh, no.
I finally figured out the printer.
You figured it out?
Windows 7.
Yeah.
So I got it to work.
Beautiful.
But it doesn't work on Windows 10. So I talked to a tech guy.
Yeah.
And he tells me it's no longer supported.
That could be.
So he said you could probably talk to another tech guy. And he said you could probably make it work. You do patches, a patch. But it might mess up other things. So my question to you is there a way you can make this printer in real good shape to make it work on Windows 10?
Yes, you...
What happens is... Let me tell you what happens. So, excuse me, sir.
Well, hang on, Mark.
So
before
I go to print with it, and I only get half the screen.
Okay.
Windows 10.
That's cool. But we already know it doesn't work in Windows 10. But Bob has an idea for you.
If you go to HP, or actually Google...
Well, it's brother.
We can put up a link.
I remember this call. It's a brother printer. We put the link up for the actual manual.
Yeah, the brother 9125CN.
Right. Yeah. But you can go to Brother and download their universal driver.
Mm.
It'll be a basic driver with a lot of features that it won't be there for that printer, but
it'll print.
So it'll print on Windows 10?
And we'll put up a link for that.
If they have a universal driver. So here's the thing, Mark. Like Bob said, it won't do everything that device wants to do. It'll just maybe print.
Will it print a full sheet? Right now it's only printing half a sheet.
Maybe. That's the goal. If they have a universal driver, it'll be a very dumbed down basic driver that's hopefully going to work in the Windows 10 operating system. And Bob's got a thumb up that says it does have a universal driver. So if you load that universal driver on your Windows 10 operating system, it might work.
Hmm.
And if this problem continues, I'm going to tell you to buy a new printer, you know.
Okay. Yeah, I know, boss. I know.
All right.
So what do you mean by dumbed down?
It's a dumbed down. It's not designed for Windows 10. It's designed for any operating system.
I know, because it's an older printer, right?
Exactly.
So basically, you know, going to go on and download the universal driver.
Yep.
And then install it on my laptop.
On your Windows 10
it has
machine.
Windows 10.
Yeah. Yep.
And do you need the model number of that too, or
nope.
anything?
Nope. Just go ahead and do that, Mark.
It's universal. So it works on all the brothers.
It works on all. Okay.
It works
you
on,
want
yeah.
the model number on the printers.
It's irrelevant. It's the universal driver. It's going to work on.
Even though it's an older brother printer?
It's universal.
Correct. It's universal.
Okay. All right. I got two more questions. I go on your website, right?
Yes.
And I try to get the shows.
Yeah.
So I get the shows, you know, the computer tap, computer talk with tap.
The podcasts?
So I go on my smartphone and look you guys up, and I go through the shows, but it's always 2 weeks late.
It depends
I can't get the ones that are current. What's wrong? What am I doing wrong?
Well, it depends on where you're getting your shows from. If you're getting them from Entercom,
I'm getting them from the site. So I got it on my smartphone. It goes to Computer Talk with Tab from the radio station. You can also listen from that app.
Okay.
And then it shows up and it has all the previous shows, but it's always a week late.
A week, so definitely. A week could happen. So our shows don't get podcasted for a few days after the show. So it could be Tuesday or Wednesday before the show actually drops. So that's kind of normal.
I've gone like 3 days later. It's not showing up for like a week and a half later.
It depends on the show and depends on if we took a day off, right? Because then there would be a hole there. They would have played a rerun. That might be where you find a larger hole. So hope that helps you, Mark. We got to step out for a quick break. Get back to more of your calls. Tom in Harwington, hang on. Three lines open for you. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. You can catch the show via podcast or live stream anywhere in the nation. and then call us here in the studio like Jeff does from South Carolina at 800-966-WTIC. We'll be right back.
Why does it say paper jam when there is no paper jam? I swear to God, one of these days, I just kick this piece of out the window.
There it is. That's what Matt's thinking there in East Hartford with his printer. I just keep thinking of Office Space. He's banging on that silly brother printer. I hope it works for him finally. He's called 3 weeks in a row. He's getting closer. But if the universal driver doesn't work, Matt, is it Matt or Mike? Mark. Get rid of it. You know, get rid of that printer and move on. Let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Tom in Harmington. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Eric. How are you doing?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
Okay. Now, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Since December 18th, mm-hmm. I've been doing speed tests on my desktop PC.
Yeah.
I'm using three websites, Spectrum, Ocala, and Speakeasy. I'm doing the speed test in both Firefox and Chrome.
Yep.
So nothing else is running on the computer. Except I do, well, first I do the Spectrum speed test in Firefox, then I immediately jump over and do it in Chrome. Then I do the Ocala speed test in Firefox, and I immediately jump over and I do it in Chrome. And the same thing for Speakeasy. I've got eight sets of tests that I've done so far.
Yeah.
And this is so consistent, it's scary.
Yeah.
Every time I do this, Firefox is giving me between 40 and 46 download speed.
Yeah.
But Chrome is giving me 92 to 95.
There you go. So in this case,
why?
I don't know.
Going on.
Yeah, Firefox clearly is a slower browser in this case.
But it never used to be this slow. I noticed this in November, and I thought it was my imagination.
So what you can try is you can do a couple things. If you don't want to lose your bookmarks and stuff, clear your cache in Firefox and make sure it's up to date.
It is.
All right. Have you cleared the cache?
Oh, 100 times.
Oh, you have? So it's
I clear it every few days.
Okay, then it's basically Firefox showing you a performance problem. That is why we recommend Chrome for performance. Go ahead, Bob. One of the reasons.
Well, the other thing, too, is make sure that your Firefox is updated.
Yeah.
It's up to date.
It is up to date. Okay.
Yeah, 7202.
And how much bandwidth do you actually pay for?
100. So I'm basically getting it with Chrome, but I'm not getting it with Firefox.
Correct, but then you got to ask yourself if it matters. So even with gigabit speeds at Tab, we have fiber right to the backbone at Tab. You don't always necessarily get those speed tests to tell you the truth. But in your case, you're trying Firefox going out to the exact same server, right, in New York or wherever it is. You're using the same solutions and getting different speed results. It's kind of showing you Firefox is slower right now. Firefox will improve. They're always going back and forth, right? Maybe this is a security function of Firefox is giving you the poor performance. Maybe somehow how they're downloading it. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, it might be the little add-ins that you put in also. You may have add-ins in Firefox.
That makes the test not fair.
Correct.
That's true. You could have that happen.
If you put an ad blocker in, you know, that could make a difference.
Yeah. Well, I am using an ad blocker, but I'm using the same one in both browsers.
However, they're different for each browser, right? Somebody programmed it for Chrome differently than Firefox. I'm just trying to give you the answer as to why we think it could be different. They're not all, it's not apples for apples. But it does show you that Firefox is a slower browser in this case, and Chrome is the faster one.
But I mean, it's so much slower, it's ridiculous. It's like 40% of what I should be getting. And the other one has given me like 94% of what I should be getting.
So the question is does the speed make a difference to you? Is there a perception of Firefox being slower?
Right.
Or is it adequate for what you're doing?
No, the perception is there. That's what ticked all this off and got me looking into it. And, you know, you guys say, 25, 50 megabyte download is perfectly fine for two people.
I do.
I'm telling you right now, 40 to 45 download using Firefox is like watching paint dry.
So it's not all that. So this is the problem with this technology, right? So if you first have to think of the internet as the pipe to your home, period, then the rest of it is your backbone. The rest of it is your network. So what happens when you get more bandwidth is sometimes that makes up for bad networking internally, right? So yeah, I can guarantee you, five people in my home, three of them boys between the ages of 18 and 20, all banging on the system at the same time, I can watch my high-definition streaming all day long without a problem. I can tell you that for a fact. Why? Because my backbone is good. Now, if you have poor streaming devices, if your devices don't have enough horsepower to actually give you and give you the performance you want, you can pay for 300 megabits and still get bad service.
So if I've got hardwired cable. I'm not using wireless.
Okay.
Yeah.
But let's say, for instance, your router,
right,
or you have a switch in your network that's an older 10-100. That's all. That's going to slow your whole network down.
Or it's thrown out
with both browsers.
No, that's a browser problem.
Independent of your browser, so you could have gigabit speed going outside, but if you have a 10-100 switch, you're only going to get 10-100 speed, and it's going to be divvied up between all the computers in your network. Plus,
right,
there's the issue of how old is your wiring? Is it Cat 5E or Cat 5 or Cat 6, or do you have Cat 3? Because that's not capable of fast data transmission.
And older switches will throw out garbage packets, too. So you could have an older piece of hardware in there contributing to your performance. But these are two disparate problems, Tom, because you talked about your slow browsers, because you can actually show the difference. And then you said, hey, you guys say you can get away with 50 megabits. You can, but that has nothing to do with your two browsers and their performance on your particular computer.
The wiring is what was installed in the house in 1999.
99 is probably Cat 5, so it's probably 100
megabit.
Could be 5
megabit. Or 5E.
99, that's 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Charter gave me a new modem on December 18th.
So a new modem, that's good.
So look at the wiring and see if it says EIA, TIA, Category 5, or EIA, TIA, Category 5E. Is because that's what you would have. You wouldn't have Cat 6 from back then.
No.
So if it's Cat 5E, you're okay. But if it's Cat 5, your internal network speeds are only going to be limited to 100 megabits per second.
Period.
Yeah, but I can't get more than 47.
On the browser. We already agree the browser is slow. That has nothing to do with your network, Tom. So there are two disparate things. The browser is performing poorly. Chrome is performing well on the same network. Right.
Yep.
So the network has nothing to do with that. That's the browser. Right. If you're getting Google to give you 80, it's not your network causing that problem. It's Firefox for whatever reason.
Okay. So it sounds like the problem is Firefox because Chrome is performing at the speed that that I'm paying for.
Exactly. Exactly.
It has no effect on the upload speed in either browser.
Well, because the upload is so small, anyways. Your upload's about what, 5 megabits?
Oh, no.
2?
It varies between 11.3 to 11.6.
Okay, but they're still small comparatively.
Oh, yes, yeah. Comparatively.
So
they're very consistent on both browsers.
Yep.
It's the download that's killing me in Firefox, and I like Firefox. I didn't like Chrome,
right,
and I've been using it only because it's so noticeably faster.
That's
and
why I use
nobody
Chrome.
Nobody else is complaining. It must be me. All right, so my last question to you would be this. If I uninstall, I guess the answer is no. If I uninstall Firefox and get a fresh version of it, would that correct the problem?
Maybe. There's nothing wrong with that theory. It could be something wrong with the program itself, because that's a pretty poor performance.
Yeah.
So, but yes, that's an easy thing to try. Uninstall, reboot, nice, fresh,
so the latest
and reload.
The latest version of Firefox is 72.0.2.
That's what I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. But uninstall it and reload it? Sure. If that solves the issue, you had some sort of corruption with your Firefox program.
And the other thing is if you uninstall it, go back into Program Files or Program Files x86 and find that Firefox folder after you've uninstalled it and rename it or delete it so that when it installs new files instead of writing over the top.
Right.
Okay. Now, do I need to reconfigure OpenDNS, or is that a hardware thing?
OpenDNS is a software thing, right? It's not a hardware thing. So as long as your router is handing out OpenDNS, you're good.
All right.
Right? So and that'll also give you a performance. But again, your computer itself is already fine because you're getting that 80 megabits on Chrome.
So if I uninstall Firefox and reinstall it, is there a file where it keeps my bookmarks, or have I lost my bookmarks?
You would lose them, so export them.
Yeah, I've got them on 3 different flash drives.
Yeah, so you could have corruption right there. You could have some big, massive bookmark file. So the problem with tweaking...
I do.
Yeah, okay. So then you could have a completely corrupt... So here's the thing. When you install it fresh without all those bookmarks, don't restore it. Do your test right after you install it fresh.
Mm.
If it's now nice and fast, you got some sort of corrupt bookmark file.
Well, all my bookmarks are the same in Chrome.
Doesn't.
Okay.
In Firefox, they're corrupt.
Yeah, but I just wanted to throw it out there.
That's cool. That's fair. In Firefox, they could be damaged, and your program is having trouble processing.
The bookmarks file in Firefox is in a different location than the bookmarks file in Chrome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I asked if I needed to save them before I...
Save them so you have them, but try the test before you load them back in.
Export them to an HTML file.
And if your speed that's returns, then you've got a bad file.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't all Firefox's fault. It was just something wrong with the bookmark file.
Yeah. They've always run fairly close in speed. Usually, even fact, Firefox was better than Chrome. That's why I liked it. But, man, it's taken a hit over the past 2 months.
We have stopped recommending Firefox for speed for a while now.
Oh, that I didn't hear, and I listen to your show every week.
It's been a while.
Oh.
That I actually set it for speed, but we've been Chrome people now for a little while. It'll go back because Chrome's the Googleplex, right? So they're watching everything you're doing. Eventually, we're going to recommend some sort of private browser, search engine.
Pretty sure the latest I'm pretty sure the latest version of Firefox is also incorporated an ad blocker, and that might make a difference in your performance as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks for your help. I appreciate it.
All right, Tom, you're welcome.
Have a good day.
You too. But it is this is an important topic to try to get across, in that you don't need to pay the internet companies for these massive pipes to your home to get performance in your home. Because unless you've got, 100 people coming over to share that 300 megabit connection, it's literally just an empty pipe. You're not going to see any improvement for two or three people in your home with 300 megabits. You're not. I can stream 4K all day long on my, I think it's 63 megabit connection. 4K, high definition, multiple TVs, gaming going on, music streaming in the background. It is not the pipe, man. It's your internal network and the devices connected to it that are more responsible for the performance, not the pipe necessarily. So if you're a business with 100 people, you need a big pipe. Yes, I can't argue that. For your home is what I'm talking about. Go ahead, Bob.
So if you have a 6-inch pipe coming to your house and it's throttled down to a 1/2-inch pipe by the time it gets to your network.
Exactly.
It's all you're going to get.
Exactly. I can't change that for you. So the cable providers want you to think it's bandwidth. That's why they keep throwing more bandwidth at you.
Well, they make more money.
If you don't believe me, NPR did a thing with the Wall Street Journal on this. If you want to listen to them, they're saying the same thing I've been saying for years. I could try to find that article for you, too. Yes, they're saying it very nicely with their pinkies in the air. Let's go to Mark in West Hartford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. So I turned the radio on, and I heard, I always listen to you guys on Saturday morning.
Thanks.
And I had to call because there seems to be this love affair with Firefox browser.
Some people love them, some people hate them. Right. Go ahead.
I am like, what's the attraction? I think that it... I remember back in the early 2000s when IE was getting, inundated with viruses. It was, it was the thing.
Right.
And I never recall it being so wonderful. And my experience now with Windows 10 and their new browser program,
Edge.
Which escapes Edge, I find it to be absolutely 100% the best browser that Windows has ever come up with, Microsoft, and...
Well, believe it or not, Mark, they just copied Chrome. They used Chromium. they actually trashed their whole browser and took the Chromium browser. So they actually said, all right, we can't beat them. We're going to go build a Chrome-based browser. That's what they did. And it is better, but it's still Microsoft. And Microsoft, I don't know, you just can't trust them. So we stay away from it.
I understand. They're the number one attack. Windows 10 is constantly under attack.
Exactly.
My feeling has been on Windows 10, I've had it. I've had every Windows from 95.
Yeah.
If you stay away from those websites, and you and I both know what those websites are.
Sure.
And if you have proper virus protection, especially the virus protections that are real time.
Yes.
They will block websites upon your attempt to get into them.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the best.
Mm-hmm.
And you make sure you double check to make sure your updates are actually occurring.
Right.
And a virus hasn't already put a stop to that, which is the first thing that some of these viruses do.
You're right.
Then you're not going to have any trouble.
Yeah, it's all...
I mean,
Well, it's all preference. I mean, the thing about Firefox and the love affair people have had with it is that it was more designed for the end user if they wanted to be more private or they wanted to block ads. They had these great plugins. It was an alternative to the little halo there with Explorer. And in this last caller, he wasn't very happy with his Firefox anymore, and we haven't been recommending it lately because of its performance issues. But they're open source, right? So, you know, there's a lot of benefits to having an open source browser like Firefox, but I've been a Chrome guy lately for quite a while now. I still stay away from the Microsoft browsers based on what we see in our client base. There's a lot of problems with it still. However, a lot of software is written for it. A lot of financial packages, bank packages still want to use.
A lot of healthcare will only support Firefox.
Yeah, Internet Explorer.
I call it Internet Explorer.
Well, government agencies too. I work for the Postal Service, and our entire network is all you know, Microsoft Windows based.
Yeah.
We've had some issues. It was 2 or 3 years ago. We had a denial of service attack on our entire system, which caused havoc for several weeks.
Are they still running any XP boxes in there?
No, everything's right. We all have Windows 10. We have Windows 7 up to, I don't know, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Windows 10, yeah.
Yeah, well,
we're all running Windows 10.
It's a good call, Mark. You know, everyone's got their preferences, but you like Edge, and that's great, but it is Chromium now. Chromium-based.
Thanks a lot.
All right, Mark, thank you. You know, it's the problem with IT and anything, right? It's preference. If you get burned by something, you're like, I'm not recommending that anymore, right? So in our practice, we see this antivirus, this web filtration, this firewall, and if you find yourself having trouble with a certain device, you're not going to continue to recommend it or go with it, right? So it's a lot of what people choose is just based on their experience. Now, our experience is strewn across over 9,000 systems that we protect, over 400-plus businesses. So our depth and breadth is pretty wide and deep. And so we know across multiple systems how these systems work well together or if they do not work well together. And then we work with our peers that are nationwide, and we make sure that what we're seeing is what they're seeing. And it allows us to, of course, bring a better mousetrap for our customers. So your preferences is all your experience, right? You know, same thing with cars, right? You either buy American or you don't buy American.
Or you buy one of the, I don't know if it's the big two, and Ford and Chevy and Chrysler.
Right, it's all based on your experience.
Or, you know, Toyota, Honda. You know, right. Subaru or Hyundai or whatever.
We had three transmissions go in our Chrysler minivan. You'll never see a Chrysler minivan in our family ever again. Three transmissions later. So it's all preference and practice as far as what you see. So we have four lines wide open. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll do our best to help you out before the top of the hour. Everything we've been talking about has been posted live over by Mike G. Posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com. And, of course, on Facebook. If you like us on Facebook, it'll get into our news feed. What are you going to bring up some news here, Bob, as we wait for calls?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, what do you got? Anything good?
Oh, yeah, I got a good one. Senators sport Apple Watches at the impeachment trial, report says.
Oh, that's right.
Phones have been banned from the trial, but smartwatches are still in use, according to reporters.
Uh-oh.
Several senators have been spotted wearing Apple Watches during the impeachment trial of U.S. President Donald Trump, a report says.
Yep.
It comes despite rules stating that senators cannot have phones or electronic devices in the chamber.
Uh-oh. They're breaking their rules?
They're breaking their own rules. How do you like that? Roll call said Tuesday. Six Republican senators and two Democratic senators reportedly sported the smartwatch, along with an aide to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Mm-hmm. Apple's smartwatch allows you to make and receive calls and text messages, although 9 to 5 Mac noted it's unknown whether the watches being worn in the trial are cellular or Wi-Fi connected.
Right.
A Bloomberg reporter said Apple watches have been banned from being used in the press gallery for the impeachment trial because senators are wearing them. It's good for me, but not for you.
That sounds about right.
The trial began Tuesday morning with senators currently debating over the rules.
Right.
To approve the resolution, 51 votes are needed, blah, 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 blah.
So they're breaking their own rules. Let's go to your calls. Vince in Torrington. What's going on, Vince?
Hi, I'm looking to buy... Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I'm looking to buy a computer.
All right.
I have a laptop in mind. It's an HP. It's 8 gigs of RAM. I'm not computer literate. I know how to use a computer.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a good way to go?
Well, 8 gigs of RAM is not enough information. What's the CPU? Is it an i5?
It's an i10.
Well,
i10, i12.
Never heard of an i10 or an i12. It's probably Windows 10. I've never heard
it's
of it.
It's a Windows machine. Again, yeah. I'm not that... I don't know all the lingo. I just know how to operate a computer.
It could be... you want to find a machine that's an i5, an i7, or an i9. But i9 is really on the high end for what you would need. But I would say try to find an i5 or better. Stay away from the i3s. Solid-state hard drive. How much do they want for this machine?
$499.
Okay, so it's probably on the lower end. Is there a solid-state hard drive in there, Vince? SSD?
It says so on the package, yes.
Good. All right, that's good. So the question is to confirm if it's an i5 Intel CPU or better. If it's an i5, an i7, or i9 for that price, go ahead.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you much. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye. Yeah, those are the basics when it comes to computer specs. All right, guys, I want to thank you very much for joining us on this Saturday morning. Go check out the Rhode Island Computer Museum. If you've got old stuff, they'll take it seems. Never heard of that place, but we had a caller talking about it. And if you're cleaning out your basement, they might actually give you a tax deduction to donate your 30-year-old hardware. I just can't imagine that. Everything is posted by Mike G, ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Dr. Lessie's up next. He's got a whole crew of folks who'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. Thank you, Matt, for producing.
See you next week.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities, all with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.